I think we'll hire this guy. He can give some wonderful, beautiful, sincere introductions.
Oh, right.
Thank you, Mike. That's great. Good evening, everybody. And I just want to also say that I'm so glad to be here, finally. I thought I'd never get up to the mic because Mike is the slump. I love you. I do like the introduction, but you know, I like the racehorse. I want to get out of that starting game. And I feel like Artis Parker sometimes. I know he's raring to go, you know. And you can see that. And all of you speakers, I know that you're all so anxious to get up here. I only regret one thing, that I don't know the Greek that I would love to know. It is such a beautiful language, not only because it's God's language, but because God is so willing for us to learn that language. Did you know that in Psalm 138:2, he says it in his own words? I'm going to read it to you. 138:2, it says in the book of Psalms, 138, verse 2. I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. That's beautiful for God to say that. He magnifies his word, the Hebrew, the Septuagint Greek, and today, tonight, the Koine Greek. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? I feel so privileged to even get up here and say Koine, because that's a Greek word. Mike told you what it meant. It meant common Greek. Common Greek. And that's the Lord again for you. He gave us common Greek that was spoken in the year 300, B.C. and 310 B.C. to 310 A.D., and he chose a common language that the whole world knew at that time. So he wanted to make it simple. That's the way God is. He's not showing us something difficult, hard to comprehend, hard to understand, hard to be something to confuse you about. No. He wants to make it easy for you. He wants to give you sunesin. Sunesin is a beautiful word in the Greek that means simply understanding. Sunesin. He wants to give us sunesin. We'll come to that scripture a little bit later on. And that sunesin has two accents. One under the upsilon, which is U in English, and one under the yota, which is the last syllable. You can't mispronounce that at all. It's so simple. Sum, musical language, melodic. You're right. Sum, the scene. Understands. He wants us to understand him. And we can. We can. I'll guarantee you that with what's coming up, this is our fifth year already that this group has had the opportunity to learn the Greek language and to get and understand the New Testament in the Koine Greek. This, of course, Jack has more experience than that, and I just love the way I love the people who love the Koine Greek. And Jack, you're one of them. God bless you. And the rest of you too, I know you're one of them. So, just with that small introduction of mine, let's get the first transparency up there, Kathy. And I'll just read it from here. I have the exact copy here that Kathy's putting up there on a transparency. So that makes it easy for me because I have developed glaucoma and I have very large print here. I had to read the Bible today in a real small companion Bible, that's a very difficult version. Okay, Koine Greek studies, with emphasis on the current dispensation of the mystery, belonging to the dispensation of the fullness of times, the glorious gospel of God has given to St. Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, given at Mineral Point, Wisconsin, evening of September 1, 2006. We begin the Greek class with a very popular and beloved scripture, Ephesians 3:9. Let us all have a great time in the Lord, the head of our ecclesia, God, the God of our church. And the ecclesia is the church, the assembly, which is the church of the mystery. Okay, besides learning the Greek, it's very unique to know people who are learning the mystery and the Greek together. I think learning the mystery is the bonus. Learning the Greek is a beautiful opportunity that we have. And I'm glad the Lord has put it in our hearts to learn Koine Greek. And I know that that's true. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Glad to see you. Praise the Lord. Okay, if you can read with me there, I'll read it from here. You'll see how easy it is, especially you that are good at languages, like Mrs. Bagley over there. I found out that she knows excellent Spanish. I know some Spanish, but boy, she can run circles over my Spanish. ¿Es verdad, señora Kelly? Sí, es verdad. Okay, there we go. I hope we can do, all of us can do as well in the Greek language. Here we go, Ephesians 3:9. Kai fotisai. Notice the accent is over the iota. Kai fotisai. Can anybody say that? Kai fotisai? Yes, okay, that means to bring to light. It's like a beautiful command of God to bring to light. To bring to light. Pantas is in parentheses or in brackets, which means that's omitted in the current text. So we don't even have to know that word. Now that does mean that pantas is omitted out of every passage of scripture. Only we see the brackets. Pantas is a wonderful word, but not for this passage. Kai fotisai, bring to light. I'll do the English later. We'll go through the Greek first. Kai fotisai, tis he konomia, oikonomia, tu musteriu, tu apotetumenu, that's a little difficult there, abaton aionon en to theoto da panta kitisanti. Isn't that sound beautiful? I think it does myself. I love that scripture. Not only because it's Greek and it's a beautiful sounding language, but because of the content. Look at the content. Listen to it in English. To bring to light, to enlighten. That's an infinitive there. To bring to light what? To bring to light all what is the stewardship or dispensation of the mysterion I've got here. The mystery, having been hidden from the ages in God, Christ, the one having created all things. All things, there's panta, again, panta kittisanti. Say, okay, you said kai fotisai, say panta kittisanti. Panta kittisanti. All right. Can you say it, Mike?
Panta kittisanti.
Yeah. What does it mean? Having created all things. The one having created all things. That's Jesus Christ, who created everything that exists today. Okay, not only are we learning the Greek, but we're also learning the way God works, the way He speaks. The best way to understand it is through His Word. And in the mystery doctrine is a bonus. I mean, that's a real bonus. To learn the mystery. You'll know the Greek, know the English, and you know the mystery. What a blessing. What a blessing. Wow. What a place to be right now tonight. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty God. Right, Carlos?
Yes.
Amen, boy. At this point, I'd like to ask Kathy to put up the next transparency, which is abbreviations and symbols. Now, this is actually, and I will admit it, it's a very boring topic. Have you got it? Flip it over here.
Okay.
But before I start explaining this, I'm just going to go through a few points here. Kathy has a handout here. I'll just let her tell you. Kind of speak up because of the mic.
How many of you have become quite familiar with the Greek alphabet?
Honey, can you stand by the mic?
Why don't you stand right up here in the official position?
Yeah. All right.
I think the mic's better. Okay. If you have used the Greek alphabet a lot, you have used the Companion Bible or read books by Welch or Allen or other writers, and you will find a lot of Greek words in them. These Greek words are transliterated usually into English letters. So if you have a Greek word, say in a book by Welch or the Companion Bible, and you want to look it up in the lexicon, or in the back of your concordance, you need to transliterate this back into the Greek letters to find it. And this is a little handout sheet and an exercise for you to do so that you can look at a Greek word, and an example at the top is kephali. This is an English letter. If you were looking it up in the lexicon or concordance, you need to look at the Greek letters. Now, fortunately, a lot of these are just about the same, like alpha and A. So already you know that. And B is pretty simple. G, the letter, looks different, but it's, you know, you learned that, it's gamma. And D, it's looks a little different, but it kind of looks like a D. That's not so hard. Now, the E, there are actually two E's in the Greek. There's a short E and a long E. The short E is epsilon. And the long E, if you go down a few, is an eta. An eta looks like an N. And this is where it gets confusing, because some of the Greek letters look like different letters in English. The one I always have to look twice at, if you skip over to the next line, the P looks like an the P in our language is this sign, but if you look at P in Greek, it's actually an R. So you have to be thinking Greek or English, and it gets confusing. But you know what? I've heard several times that if you work on things that are a little difficult for you, it makes your mind work harder. It's actually very good for you. Keeps your mind oiled, it keeps it moving, keeps you young. And as you get to the our age and start forgetting things, you know how important this is. So don't give up on it, just keep working at it. What are some of the other ones that? The O, there are two O's. The Omicron is the short O sound. The last one is Omega. And that has a long O, and I put a line over the long E of a long O. Now, there is no H in the Greek, you have this little backwards or aspirated comma over the first vowel in a word, and that is the H sound. And I put that up in the corner. So this is a good sheet for you to use for a reference sheet. I've also given you a list of words which you can transliterate yourself. And this will give you some practice, and you'll find out how easy it is. I bet as kids, you probably did these little secret code things where you had to do that. Well, if Greek is that difficult, you can still do it with this, and you'll find that pretty soon you don't even need this. You know, I sometimes get mixed up, but basically I can look at a word and find it in the lexicon now, just like you look up words in the dictionary. So I would urge each one of you to acquaint yourself with this, and the more you do it, the easier it is.
Thank you.
One other word that's really tricky, one other letter, is XE, which
looks like an ampersand.
Which the X in is the X in English, and then the key is the X in Greek. That's another one that can trick you, but you'll get it.
Now you know where I learned my alphabet. She used to be a teacher. She's good.
Yeah.
And she keeps me on my toes. Yeah, she really does. Over here, you have a chart that I have entitled Abbreviations and Symbols. We're only going to cover the parts of speech. In the Koine Greek, they are not called parts of speech. They are called systems. Okay? The systems, can everybody see this chart?
I
have glaucoma, so I can't even see this chart. So, I can barely see the screen. No, I'm just kidding. Over here on this column here are the parts of speech in the Koine Greek. They are not called parts of speech here, called systems. I'm going to mention a few from the top down. You do not have to learn these right away unless you really, really want to and you have the inkling to or the desire to, and I like the desire better than anything else. I have a desire to learn all these, and I'm going to learn them, and I have learned most of them. Like, for example, the noun. The noun is a system, and it has four categories. Case, gender, person, number. And those are listed over there in a string of them on top, the very top. And then on the verb, the verb system has categories. The first category is mode, tense, voice, case, gender, person, number. Okay? The adjective has got the modifiers, I'll call them that. And the determiner is simply, determiner is right here, right there, determiner. That simply is the definite article. And the definite article, duh. Everything is so simple once you know it. It's a determiner. It's called a determiner. Now, don't get bored, because I'm going to quit here in just a minute and go into the exciting stuff, okay? To me, this is exciting. But when you get into these categories and grammatical subjects, that's really where you begin to understand the Greek and what a participle is and particles and all of these beautiful names. You look at them at the end of your lexicon. I don't have one with me, but they're available. And Mike has one. I've got one. I don't know who else has one here. It's one of the best lexicons I've ever seen. Of course, Jack has the best text you've ever seen. Right, Jack? You said that at the last talk. You looked it up. This is the best text. You do have it.
Yeah.
I know you do because you have the real text. Well, I've got the same copy, so you and I have the best there is. Yeah, and so does mine. Yeah. It's terrific to me.
Ed, maybe you can explain what a lexicon is.
A lexicon, I'll just show you what it is. It's a Greek dictionary.
Greek dictionary.
Yeah, that's all it is. Here's one right here. This is so good. What a tool this is. You've got every Greek word in here in the New Testament. And a wonderful explanation. This chart that you see up here is right here in the front page. And the definitions for alexeion, indicative active, or a participle, or any grammatical term, is right back here in a glossary. Adjectives, everything is in here. There's no excuse for not knowing what there is to learn in the Greek. Now, this lexicon here, you can buy it at Trafford. If you want the address, I can even give you the web page number. And they are not quite printed yet. I've got a little more on that to speak to you about. I know the author. I found out his address. I kind of violated the rules. Go ahead and put the next transparency up there, please. And his name is Timothy Freiberg. Freiberg, and that happens to be my wife's maiden name. And Timothy and Barbara Freiberg were the authors of that lexicon there. They were also the authors of the AGNT, the Analytical Greek New Testament. It's got treasures of pearls in there. It's so easy to learn. Languages I love anyway. And anybody will tell you who knows how to teach languages that you have to learn the grammar because it's like the skeleton of a human body, of what keeps it all together. And then there's the sinew when you learn the rest. See, it's just great to know. All right, you can see by this transparency here, and on the very top, can you see Greek-English channel up there? Can you just, you see Koine Greek text and English version. Let's see the very top of it. Slow it down a little more. Okay, Greek-English channel, see there? Can you see that? Do you see this lampstand there?
I see two faces.
Huh? Can everybody see two faces there? One here and one there? Well, you know what? That's my daughter. Yeah, it's my daughter. And when she was in the third grade, she did her own silhouette. And I was looking for something like this. And I said, why don't we just use Rachel's silhouette? So Kathy says, well, yeah, just let me take a picture of it and I'll cut it for you. And just split it open like that. And this is Kathy, and she just cut these papers together. And then she flipped them over, and there you got it. And it's like two people looking at each other in the mirror. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And you look at yourself and you say, well, look, hey, I can speak English in the mirror. And then you look in the mirror again and you say, well, why am I getting mixed up with the Greek and the English? Well, I'll tell you why. Timothy Freiberg, the author of the lexicon, the AGNT, and he's got two other books. One is called the Lexical Focus, and the other is Grammatical Focus. There's four of them. Mike and I have learned to call it the Big Four. With the Big Four, anybody in here can learn as much Greek as we know right here. And you'll be sitting at a podium someday teaching the Greek. We've been at it now 4 years. A lot of you have learned a lot already. I know you have. At least, if anything at all, you are so interested in it, it's so inviting, and it's so informative. Okay. Timothy Freiberg, in contacting him, he writes me, and he says, Dear Ed, we are, he says a lot of things that I don't include here. like preaching the word, keep it up, you know, like encouragement. He's a real nice guy. I'll show you this picture. I'll open it up. He sent me his picture. Timothy Fryer and Barbara. This is a younger picture. He's a little older than this now. But what a neat guy. You can tell by the emails that he writes. I've communicated with him. Here's one of his letters. He says, "Dear Ed, we are developing a new approach to Greek in which the lexicon and grammar of the New Testament Greek is the New Testament itself. It is an interesting approach in which," he says, "our trouble," the person he's working with in editing this book, he says, which he says, "our trouble in learning Greek is that we try to fit Greek into the English channel of the mind, whereas we need to open a Greek channel to the mind. If you can get back to me in about 2 or 3 months, I will have a user version ready to send you." He's editing it right now, and he hasn't contacted me yet as to how far he's gone on this. They go every word is analyzed, scrutinized, and they do everything with it until it's ready to be published. And I hope it comes out soon, because I think it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful tool to learn the Greek. Okay, because we started late, I'm going to skip the figures of speech. We won't even go into that, other than to say we're not going to discuss it. Other than to say that in your companion Bible, you have appendix number 6, and there's it's an unabridged amount of figures of speech in there. Those are, again, very, very valuable, extremely valuable. Without them, we will not get fuller knowledge, even the fuller knowledge that the Lord promises to open up for us in Scripture. Okay, next turn, please. Give us the prepositions. I'm going to skip that. This is just definitions. I'm going to just discuss the top one. The top one is telematos. Can everybody say it? Telematos. Telematos. Do you know what it means? Read what it means over there on the top. There's 7 scriptures up there. Ephesians 1:1, Ephesians 1:5, Ephesians 1:9, Ephesians 1:11, Colossians 1:1, Colossians 1:9, and 2 Timothy 1:1. If you count them, there are 7 times there. And 7 times is significant with what?
Spiritual perfection.
Perfection. Yes, that's right. What was it again, Mike?
Spiritual perfection. That's how many teachers we have, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. That's right. These guys are all filled with spiritual perfection. Yes, that's right. That's exactly right.
Even Ronnie.
Even Ronnie. That's right. Even artists. Even Bob Gunther. Even Jack. Even Barney. Barnabas. Oh, Barney, sure glad to see you back. I wish you'd come to every one of the conferences. We get a lot from you. I also read the ones that you put out for the Explorer. What is it? The Bible Exploration? Is that it? Bible Explorations? Are you still doing that? I haven't seen the last
time. Right.
Huh? Yeah, I like those. Anyway, this appears anything 7 times, like Ulage Tas. Everybody, Ulage Tas.
Ulage Tas.
Ulage Tas is worthy to be praised, and it's that particular form. The Greek words are not Greek words. They are Greek forms in the Greek. They're Greek forms. And Ulagetas is a form that is attributable only to God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus Christ is Ulagetas. The Holy Spirit is Ulagetas. God the Father is Ulagetas. Worthy to be praised. And in the Scriptures, it's simply in our very loved King James 1611 says, "Blessed." Or blessed. They're all spelled the same. blessed. We're blessed too, but we're not blessed like Jesus Christ is. Not yet, anyway. And that's where the Greek comes in, see? Oulagetas. Worthy to be praised. And it appears in the scripture 7 times. I'll give you the 7 locations of it later on. The next part, if you read the previous transparency there, I have definitions for katavales, katavalo, katakluso, which is cataclysm, abuso, which is the abyss, and these words I picked up and I defined them here, actually for my own purpose, because I thoroughly enjoyed Larry Geyer's panorama tapes. Anything I get from Mike and Ronnie, I'll tell you what, I open them up and I said, I've got to listen to these. And I put them on that evening or right away. And I started listening. And I'm writing things down. I see some Greek words, I write them down. And then when I write them down, I define them and I check them off to see how accurate they are. And to me, Larry Dyer has amazing, amazing insights. Insight. Soon as seen. He's got the soon as seen. Understanding. And you know where you get it? Only from above. The Lord Jesus Christ. The same place you get your soon as seen, friends. The same place you get it. The same place. It's an honor. It's an honor to even say the words. Here we have prepositions. It's an honor to know just these prepositions. Just these, it's not a part of speech. It's not, it's the system. And you can see how complicated it looks. And that's why it's a system. But it's a preposition in English. Isn't God wonderful to come down and show us in English what a preposition in the Koine Greek really is? It's beautiful. Not only that, but he gives you a diagram, epi, upon, and he's got a line above. Epi, epuranios, the heaven, the upon heavens. But it doesn't mean the highest heaven because there's one higher. Called far above all the heavens. Cooper, Cooper, ton panton cooperano. That's the heaven above all heavens. You can read the scripture later, and I don't have the scripture here with me handy for that cooper, but I can get it for you. Real, not now because it's not in this class right yet, but I can get it for you later after class. Okay, next one. Yeah. We've got ulagetas. Praise the Lord. Phonology, ulagetas. Blessed, there you are, see, worthy to be praised. Used 7 times in the New Testament. In the New Testament. Ephesians 1:3, Luke 1:68, Romans 1:25, Romans 9:25, 2 Corinthians 1:3, 2 Corinthians 11:31. And 1 Peter 1:3. Important notes below in the bullets there. You got attributable only to God. Father, the blessed Christ, the beloved one. I like to refer to Jesus Christ as the Son of His love. The Son of God's love. Because He's worthy to be praised. Because He did the finished work. He relieved us of any and all cumbersome things like keeping commandments, which we can't keep anyway. We can't keep any commandments. But we can keep them all by loving Him because He's worthy to be praised. He took all those commandments and nailed them to the tree. Isn't that beautiful just to know that? It's beautiful to know that we're free, that He's capable of doing that and is able and did do that. Oh, that's terrific. Paul called himself a chief of sinners. When I look at myself in the mirror, I don't know how Paul can call himself chief of sinners. I hope all of you can say that. He's not the chief of sinners either. He's not. The word chief means first. He's the first sinner to come into the mystery. He's the first sinner to come into the dispensation of the mystery and belonging to the fullness of time. And it's Paul who was obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ and went all over to tell people about a loving Lord who selected him, he says. I. Me. He gave me this. He gave me this grace to give to the Gentile. And he's a prisoner. And he doesn't mind calling himself a prisoner. Why? Because he's a prisoner of the very best. He's a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And we can be prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ and walk around like a 4-star, 5-star, 1,000,000-star general. And we have a goal. And our goal is the prize of the high calling. That is such an important subject right there in itself. Right now we have a goal. In the Greek it's skopan. Skopan is the goal. The braveo is the prize. And kata braveo is also in the scripture, which means the evil one trying to steal the prize. And that's all the damage he can do today to you. He cannot capture you and keep you and seduce you and lie to you and keep you captive. No. He can't do that. You are already sealed by the Holy Spirit, protecting you. The Lord already told you that he triumphed over Satan in Colossians 2:15. You make a note of that and read it and hang on to it. Colossians 2:15, the word triambusas is there. That word triambusas means triumph. And what a triumph. What a triumph. He triumphed. That word triumph means a celebrated procession of legions of angels in captivity. He triumphed over all those powerful angels. And he paraded them in, and put them to an open shame. Colossians 2:15. What a scripture. What a scripture to know. What a word. Triambusas. Triumph. What a holy, wonderful God. I agree with you, Mike. 100%. And I can see why you have these conferences. You and I are beautiful. Well, let me toss. Praise the Lord. Is there another one? Got another pearl there, honey? She's loaded with pearls. Especially at dinner time. Love. Mike's eating about our house quite a few times. He knows what a good cook she is. That's why he mentioned her a while ago. So any of you guys ever in White, South Dakota, we live on 104 East 4th Street. Write that down. Write that down. And you're in the area
over there at the same time.
You knock on the door.
How many bedrooms do you have? Yeah. Well, yeah.
We have enough. We have enough. If we not, we got lots of sleeping guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have a nice time. Yeah. You guys can come on your honeymoon.
Oh.
You too. Both of you. You just come and see us.
Yeah.
We'll feed you and we'll leave you alone. we'll have a fantastic time. And after that, we can take you to Watertown. It's a nearby place, and there's a planetarium there. And you can see inside the planetarium this beautiful stars. We haven't done that yet, Mike.
Hey, I have to sir.
No. Well, for the same reason we didn't go to the House of the Rock, they charge you a lot of money, and once you get out, they say, well, I don't think it was worth it, or I think it was great. Well, anyway, it's available.
It's available.
But what's so nice over there at 104 East 4th Street? We have a freezer loaded with walleye fish. And boy, Kathy can put them on the grill, blacken them, really nice and grilled. Or she can wrap them in foil, put potatoes and dill and all the other. What other kind of seasoning do you use? Basil? What else?
Hey, Kathy, I think you should.
Yeah, I know,
we'll be over. When he does all this,
figure something out. And when she takes that walleye out of there, melts it in my really good. Okay, here comes a pearl again. The importance of this is the bottom form. Believe it or not, this is a form right there. Right there. Anybody say that without help? No? Sure you can. This is ANA. Anybody can say Anna. Anna?
Anna.
Easy. Can you say Kefale?
Kefale.
You ought to be able to say that because that means head. Kefale, who's your head? Jesus Christ. You can say Kefale, he's my head. Anna Kefale. Over here is Kefalai. This is an omega, Kefalai O. Sasta. Now all together, Anna Kefalai O Sasta. Yeah, Anna Kefalai O Sasta. What does it mean? It means, that's another real pearl. It means to sum up. To sum up. When the Lord gathers together everything, he's summing up everything. He's going to take each member of the body of Christ, he's going to sum up everything together, put it all together, and go far above all heavens. And he's going to, the church is going to be there, the entire body is going to be with him, together with him, because we do everything together. We are seated with him, together with him. Raised with it, well, I'm delving into somebody else's scripture, which I don't want to do. So, Anna Kefalayo Sastai is to sum up all things. All, in the Greek, is pas, or passe. And it means all things. All things that are agathos. All things that are agathos. Agathos means good. All good things. There isn't anything bad in Christ Jesus. Everything pure, everything clean, nice. An early win, but it's nice being here, earning the prize of the high call. And the goal is Skopan. Skopan. Another pearl. The next pearl is on the top. Slide it down so we can read the top. And can anybody say that without help? Anyway. Look where the accent is. That letter, the beginning letter, looks like an X. It's not pronounced X. In the English, it would hit the C letter. C-H. Ka. 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 The accent is Caritas. What a pretty word, isn't it? Caritas. Root word, caris. Beautiful word. Caris. What does it mean? Grace. Grace. Favor and kindness that adds to the delight and pleasure of my Father. Your Father. Beautiful. Caritas. Ephesians 1:7. That's where it appears. The next one is Look where the accent is. I always look where the accent is, because that's where I'm going to raise, makes it melodious. That's where you're going to put the stress. Like you put the accent on the right syllable. You see what I mean? That's where you put the accent. Eperi susen. Eperi susen. Eperisusen. The root word is perisupo. Perisupo. Ephesians 1:8. And what does it mean? Again, it's a very rich word, to say the least. It means to abound, to richly overflow, to be lavished on us by God, my Father, your Father. The Lord Jesus Christ. And I've got the last one underlined. What has provided us in surpassing or exceeding abundance all that is agathos, good. See, we're learning Greek. We're learning Greek. And I'm so happy about that. Because before you know it, you'll be enjoying these Greek words. And you know where you can find all these definitions? You find out how to spell them, how to pronounce them? Right here. In a lexicon. Any good lexicon. I personally love this one. That's where you get those definitions. Where do you get the form? You get it in your ACNT or your text, Analytical Greek New Testament. And pretty soon when that comes out from Timothy Fryer, it's going to have the parsing and coding, those classifications that I gave you a while ago. They've got codes and codings on them. And it'll have definitions of all the encodings. All these people that are working diligently to give us the right translation, the right pronunciation, it's good. Now is the time to get in so we can start earning our rewards, scopon for our goal, for the bravura, which is the prize of a high place. And I'll tell you what, it won't be easy. And the only thing that makes it difficult is that evil jerk is trying to steal rewards from you. And believe me, he's such a jerk, he doesn't know any better than to come and attack a child of the Son of God. You know what I'm talking about, the evil. I was having a real bad time a couple of weeks back. I mean bad. And I got an email from Artis Parker. And you know Artis Parker? If you know Artis Parker, he's going to write something nice.
Amen.
Yeah. If you know Mike McKelski, he's going to say something funny. And if you know Diane, she tolerates it. And if you know Pat, everybody loves her. Okay. All right. We're about ready to, what time do I have to quit now? You guys are half an hour late. So, I'll just cut it.
Do you want a question?
Do we have any more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Finish.
What's that one? What's it say? I don't have a transparency.
You don't?
Oh, yes, I do. Can anybody say it? Thank you. Right? Anybody else?
Agapetos.
Thank you. You're right. Anybody else? Anybody can say agape. Agape means love. Agape love. Agape love is a pure love from God. Agape. All you do is say agape and put a toss on it. Agape toss. Agape toss. And the root word is stays the same, has no root word It's its own root word, and there are many words like that. They are its own root word. Definition is beloved, esteemed, dear, favored, worthy of love. Citations, the citations are the scripture and the number of it. Ephesians 6:21. Tychicus, what a beautiful name. The beloved brother, beloved sister, and faithful minister of the Lord. Philippians 4:1. So then, brothers of me, beloved and longed for, the joy and crown of me, so stand firm in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Agape tos. Colossians 4:7. Tychicus. I'm saying Tychicus in English, and the Greek is Tukikos. Tukikos. And it's got a meaning, but I don't know exactly what it means. Timothy, this Timotheos, in some places. In other places, he's called Timoteo, almost like the Spanish, Timoteo. And then there's one place that almost makes me cry every time I read that name. Paul is writing to him, and he says, "Oh, Timothy, Timothy, guard that which I have given thee." And he's talking about that deposit that he gave him. And that deposit is a dispensation of the mystery, doctrine, the message of the truth. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ for the Apostle Paul, who was obedient, and he followed the Lord, and he says, "I will follow those orders, sir." In his own heart, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." Those are my marching orders. Praise God. Okay, now I'm going to close with the next pearl. This pearl is for you, from me personally. You really, really want to learn to read. I know you do. This is the very best way you can do it until we get that other book. You can form a Greek channel to your mind. You see those two pictures you saw all over my daughter? And take a Greek form. I've got word in parentheses, but it's a Greek form. And put it in the Greek channel of your mind, like Kathy mentioned a while ago. Believe me, it works. You can put many channels in your mind because you have a beautiful mind that the Lord gave you. You've got an open mind. And in Christ you have a mind that is agathos. Good. Remember agathos? Good. It's good. Alright. So, a channel to your mind can be a good channel. Make it a Greek channel. Greek channel. Put the phonology of it in there. The grammatical focus, those categories that I showed you, as it appears in the text. Learn the Greek, the root word. It's easier to say than the form itself. The root word is simply this. The root word gives you the definition of the form. Like agape, you know, it's got its own. But let's say one of these here. That's got its own. Let's say caritas. Well, it's got the same root there. No, sorry. All right, caritas. You can't look up caritas' definition. It's nowhere. You'll find the form there. But the definition is available to you only from the root word. It look up the root word in there. He'll give it to you. He'll give you the definition of what katikos means. Okay? All right. Good word. Then the lexical definition is a good lexical definition. Lexical is a definition of, obtained from the lexicon. That's what lexicon means. It's a Greek dictionary. Citation. The citation is like Ephesians 3:9. To bring to light, it is the dispensation of the mystery. And others. And then, of course, you put your own commentary of what you think, what the Lord gave you, and then you put your own commentary. Katitas means katis. Okay, my own commentary for katis is this. Right now, to me, it's the same grace that God gave to Paul. What is that grace that God gave to Paul? It gave him the knowledge of the mystery. He gave him the knowledge of the dispensation of the mystery. He gave him the knowledge of the fullness of time. He gave him all this kind of knowledge. That's what grace, Paul calls it, this grace that God gave him. He says that in Ephesians chapter 3, and it's between 1 and 13. This grace that God gave him. And if anybody wants copies of the pearls that Kathy put up there, we've got copies here, and anybody who wants one, just let me and Kathy know, or Mike, and we'll see to it that Mike gets it first, and then he can put his secretary to work and send it by the mail to you. Isn't that nice? Saves us the postage. I'm like Jack Benny. You know who Jack Benny is for you younger?
No, oh, yeah, he was cheap. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry.
He was a master. He's the guy who played the violin.
But did we ever see him?
Yeah, I did. But not a full concert type of thing. Okay, I hope you enjoyed the Greek class. I'm going to be with you in the next session. And let's just close in prayer. We just thank the Lord for your great love. We thank you for your precious word. We take to heart, Lord, that when you said that all scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that's why we know it's so good. That's why we can trust it. That's why we can say that Jesus Christ is our head. He's our Savior. And that He, and we have comfort in saying, confessing that by Him all things consist. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Creator. Oh, what a God we have. Christ Jesus the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the access that we have to the throne of grace. Just to commune with you and talk to you. Para hablar contigo, Señor. En tu santo nombre. Amen.